know what time it is. It's time for Ask a Spaceman. I'm your host, Paul Sutter. You've got questions and I've got answers. You know how the show works, but let's send the signal again. You go online, Twitter, Facebook, use the hashtag Ask a Spaceman, and I will pick those questions out and I will answer them at some point in the future. I don't know exactly when it will happen, but I guarantee it will. You can also go online to askaspaceman.com. That's the website with show notes and all the episodes in the entire history, all for free, available to you for your listening pleasure. You can also send questions to askaspaceman@gmail.com. You can also follow me directly on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Paul Matt Sutter, because that is my name. You can also go to youtube.com/C/PaulMattSutter. And there's the channel. There's like videos on there, not just from Ask a Spaceman, but the other shows I do and other cool stuff I do. Anything video related, by coincidence, happens to go on YouTube because it's a video sharing service. Who would have thought? We have a simple goal with this show: complete knowledge of time and space. And on that road to that very simple goal that we will get to someday, I don't know when, but someday, we have Kelly M. Asking via email. I keep hearing about, Facebook, Kelly, you live on Facebook, not email. I keep hearing about weird radio signals in the news, so what's up with that? This is a great question, and I usually shy away from doing episodes on like latest news or current news because my shows take forever to produce and eventually end up on the air. So by the time I actually get around to talking about it and recording it and processing it, editing it, uploading it and scheduling it, it's like it's old news and everyone's all figured it out. So it's probably changed. And that's the second reason. That's B, is life changes. Something may hit the news and people rightly ask me about it. You do a great job of asking me about like what are my thoughts on current news, and I'm happy to talk about it. But then like 3 days later, like a new piece of evidence comes in, or the team like finally releases the paper and there's more details, and it's like I would have to go back and change the episode. So I usually shy away from that, but this is a different kind of topic. I love this topic about weird radio signals in space because this topic will always be relevant. And to show you how right I am, this question was asked about a year ago. I'm not joking. Kelly M. has been waiting patiently for about a year for me to answer this question. And yes, it's true. I have a serious backlog of questions, which is both incredibly exciting, I admit it, but also frustrating because I love answering your questions. I love getting to these topics. And don't worry, I'm cooking up plans. I'm cooking up plans to be able to answer more questions faster. You just got to wait, and it wouldn't help if you supported me on patreon.com/PMSutter. I've got something in the kitchen. I've got something in the oven. I'm baking it up. I've got the recipe all figured out. It's ready to go. Just give me some time, folks. All right. Trust me. Just trust me. You trust me with all the space stuff. Trust me with some more. That's all I'm asking. Anyway, Kelly asked this question a year ago, but it was on a thing that came in the news about a year ago about weird radio signals in space. I am not joking. Last week, there was a thing in the news about weird radio signals from space. This is something that happens all the time. I could have waited another year. I could have waited 10 years. I could have waited probably 100 years to answer this question. And still, there would have just been something in the news about weird, unexplained radio signals from space. Like you jump forward in the future and you'll have you'll have news beamed directly to your brain, and the announcer will be saying, astronomers report mysterious radio signals. It's the same thing. About every 6 months to a year, we get a news story about mysterious radio signals from space. Why does it keep coming up in the news? Why do people care about weird radio signals from space? It's probably the fault of SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Because SETI is listening for radio signals from space from aliens, like they actually want to talk to us or something, or we catch bits of their TV broadcast. We associate radio signals in space with aliens. And we make this connection that if we get radio signals from space, it must be same kind of radio signals that we get here on Earth. On Earth, we use radio to talk to each other. And so if we hear radio in space, it must be aliens talking to each other or aliens talking to us. That's not true. Of course, it's not true. And I'm going to use this episode to tell you some stories. So sit back, relax. I don't care if you're driving. Just, you know, take a sip of your favorite beverage, chill out, turn down the lights, and I'll read you some bedtime stories. How about that? Our first story is the discovery of pulsars. Now, I know I've done an episode on magnetars before and how magnetars were discovered, but it's a good story and it's worth repeating, especially from this slightly different angle. So back in the 1960s, Jocelyn Bell Burnell was working with Antony Hewish. And Antony Hewish had just developed a fancy new radio telescope up near Cambridge, England. It used to be a good spot for radio. Cambridge, England, this side, the countryside of England, used to be a great spot for radio. Not so much nowadays. Still pretty good, actually. But, you know, we're a little bit louder in the radio than we used to be back in the 60s. And they're doing sky surveys, they were doing astronomy, you know, all the usual boring stuff. And they started getting, like, bleeps and bloops. In fact, they spotted one particular patch of the sky that we're looking at. And when they looked at it, they got, like, bleep, 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 bleep. Like, they got this repeated signal. And these repeated signals were separated by exactly like 1 1/3 seconds. Not exactly, but very, very close to 1 1/3 seconds. That's weird. That's a weird radio signal from outer space. They were looking for, we had some idea. Let me kind of restart this. Back in the 60s, we had some idea of what radio signals from outer space look like because there's all sorts of junk going on in space. There's all sorts of noisy junk. And we expected the radio emission from physics, like the sun emits radio waves, like Jupiter emits radio waves, stars blowing up emit radio waves. There's a few things that you're like, okay, I can think about the different ways that the universe can make radio waves. We were not expecting beep, 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 beep. Or beep, 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 beep. Hey, I did that pretty precisely. I wasn't playing. I'm naturally good. Natural walking human metronome right here, folks. Anyway, we weren't expecting that. So when Jocelyn Bell and Antony Hewish, you know, started doing this, and they saw in one patch of the sky something that was repeating at a very precise frequency, that's kind of weird. That seems artificial. They couldn't think of like a natural explanation for it. So they named it just kind of for funsies. They named it LGM. They saw this source on the sky that was beeping. LGM, of course, stood for Little Green Men. Just in case. Like they were pretty sure they hadn't discovered an alien civilization, but you know, if they did, they want to be on top of it. So they called the source LGM. And then that was exciting and interesting. And we started looking around and other groups started looking around and we found another source that started going beep, 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 beep. And then another source on the opposite side of the sky that was going beep, 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 beep. And then another source over here that was going beep, beep, beep. It turns out like there were tons of them. Of these objects, whatever they were, that were pulsating in the radio. So they got the name of pulsar. And it turns out we did some math, we figured it out, astrophysics happened, and we figured out they're rapidly rotating neutron stars with very strong magnetic fields, a magnetar, which to me is like a super cool answer, which might even be cooler than the little green men answer. I mean, go back to the episode on magnetars. They are freaky, freaky objects. Weird stuff happening, exotic physics, and they can give you very naturally these very incredibly precise signals, signals that persist for decades, if not millennia. And this was such an important discovery that it was awarded a Nobel Prize, not to Jocelyn Bell Burnell, but to her boss, Anthony Hewish, and a couple colleagues. May have been a Nobel snub, maybe not. There's some interesting side discussions about that discovery. But anyway, weird radio signal in outer space. Now let's fast forward to the 70s. 1977, the Big Ear Telescope, which was run by the Ohio State University, was had done its like main science mission. Its main science mission was to, look for radio stuff. What else do you do with a radio telescope? And they're pretty much done. Like, they had finished their survey. They had seen the objects they wanted to see. They had done the studies and wanted to study. But they still had this big honking radio telescope sitting around. So they decided to start doing steady stuff, which they just kind of turned on listening mode and just scanning around interesting parts of the sky. Maybe wondering if there happens to be any random, you know, alien signal out there. So the thing about Big Ear, this radio telescope, it could move up and down a little. It could look up and down a little, but not left and right. So it just, it would scan across the sky as the Earth turned. And so one particular spot on the sky would be within its view for about 72 seconds. So imagine you're like fixed, like you're strapped down on a chair and you're looking up at the sky and you can't even move your eyeballs. One, you'd see like a star come into your like left field of view, barely on the edge, and then it'd be directly overhead, and then it'd be off to your right. And so the way Big Ear is designed, that would last about 72 seconds because it was looking at a very small patch of the sky. There was a dude there, Jeremy Emin. He was looking through the data one night, just kind of reviewing what happened the past couple days, looking for anything interesting. And wow, for 72 seconds, there was a huge, bright, continuous signal. So there was something beaming radio signals at us in a continuous steady stream that was incredibly bright, like much, much, much louder than any star or anything else, beaming at us solid, and it lasted 72 seconds, which means it was happening both before and after a Big Ear happened to be passed through that patch of sky. And it was happening at a very specific frequency. It was happening near 1,420 megahertz. 1,420 megahertz is a very special frequency in nature. 1,420 megahertz is the frequency that neutral hydrogen, when you just have plain old neutral hydrogen, one proton, one electron, it can actually, through this weird quantum mechanical transition that I will not get into, because that's another show, ask it. It will emit radio waves at 1,420 megahertz. It's kind of this weird quirk of nature. It's pretty cool, actually. And SETI teams were looking at this frequency because it's such like an important frequency. It seems like almost like embedded in the nature of our universe, this 1,420 megahertz. And there was a super bright source, like boom, 1420 megahertz, like right there. The whole time Big Ear was looking at this patch of the sky. It's a mysterious radio signal from outer space, right? The challenge is it wasn't seen by any other radio telescopes on Earth. It was never seen before in that patch of sky, and it was never seen again. And so what was it? We don't know. This signal that we call the wow signal, because good old Jerry, when he saw this in the printouts, he wrote, wow, because that I suppose that was his initial reaction. What was it? We don't know. And I doubt we'll ever figure it out. So there's another story. Yeah, let's do something else. Let's jump up to the 90s. 1998, we're down in Australia now. We've got the Parkes Radio Telescope. The Parkes is super useful. The Parkes was what we used to transmit the Apollo landings, by the way. They communicated with Australia because that was what was facing the moon at the time of the Apollo landings. Very famous, very important radio telescope down in Australia. Starting in 1998, they started to get weird little signals, almost like little chirps. Like they'd be doing their science, they'd be doing their surveys, and there's all sorts of stuff happening in the universe. And then on top of that, they'd just be like, chirp, 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 chirp. These chirps would just last like a few milliseconds, like pew, barely there. That's a better sound effect for it. Pew, pew. Little chirps. And these chirps would kind of sweep across frequencies. So it'd start at one frequency of radio, and the chirp would like spread to other frequencies, and then it'd go away. And this went off and on, and we had no idea. Like, just straight up, we had no clue what was going on. It went off and on for about 2 decades. Like, almost 20 years. Like, since 1998, just every once in a while, just... Where'd it come from? I don't know. We don't know. It seemed to happen near noon. And it the problem with the chirps is it couldn't be located to any particular part of the sky. Like we couldn't say like, oh, the chirp is coming from there. Like that constellation, we should investigate more. It seemed to come from like everywhere, but nowhere in particular. We called them, astronomers called them peritons or peritons because the word sounds cool. And there were lots of research papers devoted to it. Like it's a weird radio signal from outer space. So what could it be? What is a natural physics explanation for these chirps? The mystery was finally solved in 2015. So almost 20 years after the Parkes telescope first started getting these chirps. And it was a grad student that figured it out. And the grad student figured out that it was the microwave in the visitor center. I'm not kidding at all. So, you know, when you heat up something in a microwave and it's got like 4 seconds left and you don't want to just wait for that 4 seconds and you don't want to bother because you're super lazy turning off the microwave and then opening the door. So it's got like 4 seconds left and you just open up the door because you're really impatient and you're on the move. You're really important. You can't wait that 4 seconds. You don't have time to hit the power off button. You just open up the door. You savage. Anyway, people were doing that in the visitor center cafeteria, heating up their lunch, popping open the microwave door, and a little bit of microwave radiation just slipped out. Just a tiny bit, like not harmful or anything, just a little bit because it hadn't fully shut down when someone opened up the door. And the Parkes radio telescope was so sensitive that it picked it up. It picked it up. The microwave in the visitor center was causing a observable effect in the telescope. So much so that it caused this big astronomical mystery. These little chirps was just the visitor center microwave. So they got a new microwave. That's how they fixed that. That when you open the door, it shuts down faster. That's what they did to fix it. Most recently, and by recently here is a couple months ago, and I'm recording this in like late summer, early fall of 2016 for listeners of the future. So feel free to substitute in your own most recent news story of weird radio signals from outer space. There's this Russian telescope called Rattan that is part of the SETI program. Again, start listening for aliens and stuff. They made a big announcement. They did this big splash saying, hey, everyone, we think we saw it. We think we did it. We got a huge, weird signal from a star, not just any star in the sky, but a star that's a lot like our own sun. Hey, wait a minute. Stars that are like our own sun might have planets that are like our own Earth. And if they have an alien civilization that's broadcasting, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're not saying it's aliens, but, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, maybe we found aliens. It's a mysterious radio signal from outer space. The challenge there was that no other SETI telescope, you know, on the mission saw it. So no one else can confirm it. The Raton telescope is like super weird the way it sees the sky. So they said, it's coming from a star that's a lot like our sun, but like really it could have come from anywhere in this rather large patch of sky that happened to include that star, but also happened to include a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, people ran some tests, did some analysis, did some studies. It turned out it was a Russian military satellite that caused the mysterious signal. The point is that there's all sorts of bleeps and bloops coming from space. We associate radio signals with like human activity, and if radio signals are coming from space, we naturally associate them with alien activity because of the whole SETI thing. But there's all sorts of astrophysical stuff in the universe that makes radio waves. Anytime you move charged particles around, you get radio waves. So yeah, there's lots of charged particles in the universe and they're moving around a lot. So yeah, you get a lot of radio waves. We understand most radio emission, or at least we have a kind of sort of maybe good handle on most radio emission, but there's still lots of bleeps and bloops that we don't fully understand, especially fast ones, like ones that just bleep in or bloop in and don't like have like a long continuous source where we have tons of data where we can really pinpoint it and aim multiple telescopes and like really figure it out. If it's just like little bleeps and bloops, we don't fully understand them, but that doesn't stop astronomers from giving them a dumb name. And in this case, we call them fast radio bursts, or FRB for short. These are just random radio signals, little bleeps and bloops coming out of the blue, not associated with any particular thing. We started detecting them about 2001. And so far there's been about 24 of these Furbies. Is that how I'm supposed to say it? FRB? Furby? Really? Anyway, there's been about 24 of these FRBs, these fast radio bursts, discovered since 2001. We know that they're coming from outside the galaxy because of the way they kind of spread out over the frequencies. If you look at this kind of radio source, if these radio waves are just traveling through intergalactic space and they encounter a plasma, like, you know, a cloud of gas and dust that's, like a soup of particles, of charged particles, that radio wave will tend to get stretched out. Like, so instead of, if your radio signal starts at like one nice tight frequency, as it passes through this plasma, it will spread out into a bunch of different frequencies. And so we can actually use that to reconstruct where, how far away these sources are. This is called dispersion, by the way. And so we know they're coming from outside our galaxy. But since there are so few, I mean, 24 in like 20 years, it's hard to figure it out. Like when we don't have a lot of stuff, we don't have a lot of data to go on for theories and models and explanations and tests and hypotheses and all the science business, we can just record them. We thought they used to be isolated incidents. Like you just get one like bloop and then that was it. You'd never see it in the same part of the sky again. But there have been some cases of repeated ones coming from the same place in the sky. It's a weird radio signal from outer space. What are they? We don't know. And so whenever we get to these kinds of mysteries, it's good and bad. It's good to know that there are always mysteries out there. Like, we don't understand what fast radio bursts are, straight up. We don't understand. We don't know what the wow signal was. And it's good that there are some mysteries out there because it means I get to keep a job because there's still, like, things to figure out. There's this temptation. Like, what happened with pulsars? What happened with Rattan? What happened a few cases over the decades with peritons is you know, to advance the hypothesis that maybe we're seeing evidence of alien civilizations. You know, if you were to point a radio telescope at Earth, there'd be all sorts of weird bleeps and bloops coming out of the Earth. So maybe we're actually spotting it. Serious astronomers are always like super cautious when they advance these hypotheses. They're like, oh yeah, you know, there's, we favor the natural interpret, you know, the astrophysical interpretation, but there are certain weaknesses. And so, you know, one possibility could be maybe, I don't know, perhaps an alien civilization. I think they have to, you know, when astronomers advance the alien hypothesis, or, you know, they talk about it publicly, they have to be very cautious. Otherwise, they would, their reputations would be immediately destroyed. But they, I get this sense, this is me talking personally. I get the sense that they, you know, they want to maybe be the first person that discovered an alien species. So they don't mind, you know, as long as they wrap it up with enough scientific, you know, cushioning, they can say, oh yeah, and you know, maybe we discovered aliens. I don't know. It's out there. And then if it turns out to actually be aliens, then they're the ones. They're number one. They go down in the history books. But they have to be careful about it. Personally, even when it comes to the radio signals that we don't understand, when it comes to the fast radio bursts, when it comes to the wow signal, when it comes to whatever weird radio signal from outer space is going to be in the news in the far future, I never prefer or would personally advance the, oh, it's an alien hypothesis, no matter how much cushioning I put around it. And here's why. It's because the alien hypothesis, If you see a weird radio signal, or you see a weird signal saying maybe it's aliens, that's actually not a useful hypothesis. Because once you allow for alien intelligence or any kind of intelligence to manipulate their environment, they can produce pretty much any signal you want. So if you see something that's bleep, bleep, bloop, you can say, oh, the aliens were building this and designing this, and they're communicating this way to make bleep, bleep, bloop. But if instead you had measured bloop, bloop, bleep, you could say, oh, the aliens are communicating this way, and they had designed that, and they're doing this to make the bloop, bloop, bleep. It's totally obvious that it's aliens. Whatever kind of signal you get, you can always say it's aliens. You can always argue it's aliens because intelligent beings are capable of creating pretty much any kind of signal they want. Even here on Earth, we can, if we put our money to it, we could pretty much create any kind of radio signal we want and beam it across the galaxy. So the alien intelligences can explain almost any signal you get, which means it's not really a hypothesis. You're not really explaining anything, because no matter how you get it, you can always say it's aliens. It means it has no predictive power, it has no explanatory power. You can't perform tests, because you could say, oh, well, maybe the aliens are like really quiet except for this one signal. Maybe they got like nervous. They sent out one big blast across the galaxy and then they got scared for some reason and they shut it off. You can spin a story, and it's always much more challenging to find an astrophysical phenomenon, because nature has lots of constraints. You know, stars can only be so big, magnetic fields can only do so much. You know, we know the laws of physics, we know the rules of the playground, and the challenge is, you know, how do we construct this signal out of what we know the rules of the playground are? If an astrophysical explanation is unsatisfactory, which it is in the case of fast radio bursts and the wow signal, that doesn't mean aliens are responsible, because the alien hypothesis can be fit to any signal you ever get. It can explain anything, any mystery you want. You can always attach aliens to it. So you're not really doing any explanation at all. And so I personally, and this is just me Paul Sutter, personal moment here. And I hope the stories I've told you have communicated why I take this position that I do. I would never advance the alien hypothesis unless, if an alien ship came to Earth or they started beaming out, hey, everyone, like they started arranging the stars, you know, to form out the words, hi, Earthlings, how you doing? Okay. I mean, there are exceptions, of course, but even things like pulsars, like you would say like, oh, if we see something in space that's regularly repeated with like a naturally precise frequency, that must be aliens. No, it's just like really cool magnetars that are doing it. We don't need aliens to explain it. The bottom line is I would never advance the alien hypothesis, and I don't like it when other astronomers or astrophysicists do, because I think that hypothesis has no power. Boom. Mic drop. That's the end of the episode. I'm done. Take it away. You can help support the show. You can make me, give me the ability to editorialize and complain about other people in my profession more if you go to patreon.com/PM Sutter. I have some top people that I need to thank, the top contributors this month: Huggy Borkog, Tim Fever, Justin Gelta, Justin Rolfe, Jerry and Kevin Ogilby. Thank you so much for your support. There are many others that are also helping, but it's only the top ones that make it into the on-air acknowledgments. You can get show note acknowledgments or shout outs on Twitter. Those are also super cool. You also get previews, by the way. You get previews of the YouTube videos. So you get to, like, you get a members only preview. How cool is that? Probably not very cool, but hey, that's all I got. Okay. Thanks again to Kelly M for asking the question a year ago that finally I was able to get around to, because I could create a nice little episode out of it. If you're waiting for your episode to air based on your question, just wait more. I don't know. I can't tell you. Just keep waiting. I don't know. That's the universe we live in, is you have to wait more. Thank you so much. Please keep sending questions, by the way, because you never know. I might answer a question from a year ago. I might answer a question from a week ago. You never know where it might go. So keep sending questions. Hashtag AskTheSpaceman. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Paul Matt Sutter. You can also email AskTheSpaceman@gmail.com or just visit AskTheSpaceman.com. And I will see you next time for more Complete Knowledge of Time and Space.